Welcome to Signal Noise Weekly. I'm your editor. It's the week of July 6th, and honestly, buckle up. We've got a Senate candidate suspended over rape allegations, U.S. strikes on Iran, Ukraine changing the war, and Trump taking credit for cheaper ground beef. Let's go.
That's quite a list.
It really is. Strategist, let's start with Maine. Walk me through the Plattner framing.
Okay, so the story broke in waves. First the allegation, then the internal party pressure, then the suspension. And what's interesting is how different outlets timed their emphasis. Left-leaning outlets led with the allegation itself. Right-leaning outlets led with Democratic Party chaos.
Which, I mean, both are true. The chaos was real.
Completely real. But the frame is different. One story is about accountability. The other is about electoral vulnerability.
Right. And those two frames serve completely different audiences.
Here's what I found wild. 28 sources covered Democrats' scramble to replace Plattner. 28.
That's not a blind spot. That's a feeding frenzy.
And there were like five separate narrative threads running simultaneously. Allegation coverage, Sanders calling for him to drop, party procedure on the replacement convention, the legal deadline, all in the same week.
Five threads. That's a lot for one regional Senate race.
Because it's not just a regional story anymore. It's a midterm story.
Exactly. Maine is now a microcosm for every Democratic vulnerability heading into November.
I'd push back on microcosm a little, though. This is one candidate with a specific scandal. That's not a systemic pattern yet.
Fair, but the framing is systemic. That's the point.
The framing is the story. That's kind of the whole show, Forecaster.
Okay, fine. You got me.
So Plattner denies the allegation. He's suspended, not withdrawn yet. The party has until July 27th for a replacement convention. What does the replacement process actually look like, strategist?
Nominating convention through the state party. It's not a primary. Party delegates pick the nominee.
Which means whoever has the most institutional support in Maine's Democratic Party machinery is the frontrunner, not necessarily the most electable candidate.
That's a really good point, actually.
And nobody's covering that angle. Okay, moving. Iran. U.S. strikes on Iran. Oil surges. Markets fall. Trump declares the ceasefire over. Forecaster, what did the money do?
Okay, so oil spiked on the strike news. Asian stocks were set for a second down day. Chipmaker sell-off rippling through the region. Classic conflict premium move. But, and this is interesting, Brent crude apparently pulled back to around $72, which the Blaze framed as back to pre-conflict levels.
Is that accurate, though?
That's the question. The excerpt was cut off in our brief, so I can't confirm whether that's a full pullback or just one data point in a volatile week.
So the headline might be outrunning the data.
Possibly. I'd want more candles on that chart before calling it a return to baseline.
What's interesting to me is the left blind spot on this story. The brief flagged it. Left-leaning outlets were undercovering the oil and market angle.
Strategist, why? Break that down.
A few reasons. One, economic consequence stories that benefit a Trump narrative get less oxygen on the left. Two, conflict framing on the left this week was heavily about humanitarian and legal concerns.
But the market signal is real, regardless of politics. That's what kills me about that blind spot.
You're right. The oil price is not a partisan number.
Tell that to the coverage.
30 sources covered Trump declaring the ceasefire over. 30. That's wall to wall.
And the economic downstream? Way less.
Way less. That's the gap.
Okay, Ukraine. This one feels like it's being undercovered relative to how significant it actually is. Strategist?
It really is. Ukrainian drone strikes hitting Russian fuel infrastructure? That's not just a battlefield story. That's an economic warfare story.
And Putin acknowledged the fuel shortages publicly. That's huge. That's a domestic political concession.
Exactly. and then ISW assessed it as a new phase of the war. That's a significant analytical claim.
New phase. What does that actually mean?
Intermediate range strike campaign. Sustained economic pressure. Ukraine is hitting Russia's ability to function, not just fight.
And the air defense redeployment, Russia pulling assets away from the front toward Moscow, that's a real tactical concession.
So Ukraine is forcing Russia to choose between defending the front and defending the capital.
That's the trade, yeah.
The right's blind spot on this, flagged in the brief, is interesting. When Ukraine is winning or pressuring Russia effectively, right-leaning outlets have been slower to amplify it.
I mean, is that a clean pattern, or are we overreading?
It's a pattern over multiple weeks. I'll stand by it.
Forecaster, you were about to push back harder there.
A little. I think the framing gap is real, but the cause is complicated. Some of it is audience interest, not ideology.
Okay, fair distinction.
Both things can be true. Audience interest shapes ideology, shapes coverage. It's a loop.
Yeah, that tracks.
Okay, biggest blind spot of the week. And honestly, I've got opinions about this one. Spain wildfire. At least 12 people dead. Almost no right-leaning coverage.
Right. And it's not like wildfires are an obscure story. They've been a major narrative for years.
12 dead is a significant death toll that clears any editorial threshold.
So why the blind spot?
Because wildfire coverage on the right has become entangled with climate change framing. If you can't cover the fire without touching the climate angle, some outlets just don't cover the fire.
That's wild to me. 12 people are dead. That's the story.
I know. But that's how framing avoidance works. You avoid the story to avoid the frame.
12 people. Right-leaning outlets, largely silent. That's not spin. That's absence.
And there were other right blind spots this week. Cuba blackout, OpenAI safety head leaving, data centers and carbon emissions.
Wait, let's hit the OpenAI safety head. That one matters.
It really does. Head of safety leaves during a company reorganization. At OpenAI, the week they launch a major workplace automation product.
GPT-5.6 just went broad release. ChatGPT Work just launched, the Atlas browser got shut down, and the safety head walks out.
Great timing.
The safety head leaving during a product expansion is a huge signal about internal priorities, and right-leaning outlets mostly missed it.
To be fair, left-leaning outlets covered it, but some of them tied it to the Trump administration greenlight angle for GPT-5.6 access, which might be overreading.
Oh, that's interesting. What's the Trump OpenAI connection?
The Verge flagged it. GPT-5.6 required a Trump administration greenlight before public release during the restricted period. Government-approved orgs only, then broad release.
So there's a regulatory relationship between the administration and OpenAI that nobody's really mapping cleanly.
That's actually a bigger story than the product launch.
That is a bigger story than the product launch.
And we're probably the only ones connecting those dots this week. Okay, Walmart beef. Let's do it.
The beef segment, finally.
Trump announces Walmart is cutting ground beef prices 15%. Takes full credit. Strategist, go.
Okay, so this is a perfect example of what I'd call a performance announcement. The timing is everything.
America's 250th anniversary. Time to the 4th of July celebrations.
Right, so you get patriotism, affordability, and anti-Biden framing all in one press release. That's efficient.
And Walmart's actual statement?
Confirmed the price cuts. Did not attach a specific percentage to beef. Trump said 15%. Walmart didn't say 15%.
That gap is doing a lot of work.
Huge gap. And most right-leaning coverage ran with Trump's 15% figure. Most left-leaning coverage flagged the discrepancy.
Here's my issue, though. Even if the number is fuzzy, the price cuts are real. So what's the actual story?
The actual story is the credit. Did White House pressure cause this, or was Walmart already planning it?
Walmart's been managing margins for months. This isn't exactly spontaneous generosity.
No retailer lowers prices because a president called them.
They lower prices when the economics work. The White House just got in front of it.
Got in front of it. That's the frame.
And the frame worked. It was everywhere.
Okay, what the money thinks. Forecaster, you're up. World Cup markets moved this week, which is interesting given everything else happening.
Okay, so no significant market media divergences this week, which is notable in itself. But the prediction market moves? Mostly FIFA World Cup probabilities.
While US is striking Iran.
While the US is striking Iran, Norway is at 5.3% to win the World Cup, up 0.7 this week.
Norway.
Norway. Holland effect, presumably. Colombia at 2.8, Mexico at 2.3.
What does it say about the news cycle when the biggest prediction market movement is Norway's World Cup odds?
It says the geopolitical markets are already priced in. The Iran escalation risk was anticipated. The oil move was expected.
The money wasn't surprised by Iran.
Exactly. That's actually the signal. No divergence means the market saw this coming.
Which is a completely different story than the breathless headlines.
Completely different. 30 sources screaming about the ceasefire being over, and the markets are like, yeah, we know, moving on to Norway.
The markets are covering the World Cup. Media is covering Armageddon. Okay, rapid fire, go fast. Army shutting down social media accounts. What's the frame?
Centralization play. Fewer accounts, more message control. Classic institutional comms consolidation.
Or Doge-era efficiency narrative. Cut the accounts, cut the staff, call it streamlining.
Both could be true. Manhattan building. Two columns buckle. Midtown frozen zone. Right's blind spot.
Infrastructure failure story. Classic right blind spot when it touches urban policy or building regulation.
It's a conversion project, too. Office to apartments. That's a whole political subtext nobody's touching.
Data centers. Microsoft, Amazon, Google. Irish data centers eating 23% of national electricity. Nobody on the right covered it.
23% of Ireland's entire national grid? That's an insane number.
And it connects directly to the AI story. ChatGPT work just launched. Every AI product adds to that load.
The AI energy story and the AI safety story are both being underreported the same week OpenAI's biggest product launch drops. That's not a coincidence.
That's a pattern. Okay. Cuba blackout. Second nationwide outage in 5 days.
And almost no coverage anywhere. Left and right.
Second nationwide blackout. 11 million people. 5 days.
11 million people without power, and we're all arguing about beef prices.
That's media in 2026.
That's the show, honestly. Okay, what to watch next week? One thing each. Strategist, go.
Main Democratic Replacement Convention. July 27th deadline. Watch who the party machine selects and whether it's the most electable candidate or the most connected one.
Good one. I'm watching oil. If Brent stays below 75 despite active US-Iran hostilities, that tells you the market thinks this de-escalates fast.
And if it spikes?
Then we were all underestimating the conflict premium.
Mine is OpenAI. GPT 5.6 just went broad. ChatGPT work just launched. Safety head just left. Something is going to break into the open in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that feels right.
Watch the internal comms leak. There's always a leak.
There's always a leak. All right, that's the week. Drones changing the war, oil markets shrugging at Armageddon, a Senate race in freefall, and Trump and Walmart sharing credit for cheaper hamburgers. If you want to read what we read, primary sources, the full framing breakdowns, the coverage gaps we track, it's all at s2n.news. See you next week.